Good morning. My name's Trevor, and I'm going to read from the Bible this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for."
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is David. I'm one of the ministry apprentices here at Trinity Church, Parra Hills. And it's a joy to be here with you this morning. I'm excited to start us off in our new series called God Is. And every Sunday from now till Christmas, we'll be exploring, what is God like? Who is he? And what do we know about him? And so today we'll come to see that God is holy. So please keep your Bibles open. We'll be spending a bit of time in the passage that Trevor read out for us. But before we get to that, I want to show you a photo. This is Queenstown in New Zealand. My wife, Aunt, and I, we went here a few years ago, and this was the view from our accommodation. And honestly, the photo does not do it justice because it's a bit blurry and, you know, it's not high resolution, but you just had to be there. It was breathtaking. And we were so in awe with this view. We even said to each other, you know, how could anyone ever get sick of this view? You know, anyways, so Ant and I got on with our day. We had activities planned and we had places to go. And eventually it got to a point where we forgot this view existed. You know, every now and then we'd be like, "Oh yeah, it's there." You know, we totally forgot about this view. You know, it hasn't moved. But then we move on with our lives. We both know it's there. But the awe and beauty was lost on us in the busyness of life. You can tell at this point that Ant and I just saw this as background noise. And I wonder if that's the same way we feel about God and his holiness. Yeah, a lot of us probably have heard God is holy. You know, the Bible tells us that God is holy. We literally just sang a song about God's holiness. Even in the Lord's Prayer, the first thing we pray for is, "Hallowed be your name." That just means, "God, make your name holy." You know, we know God is holy, but is the awe and wonder lost on us? Is God and his holiness simply just background noise? Well, if it isn't, but instead it's, you know, up in our faces where we can't ignore it, then what would change if we were truly gripped by God's holiness? Not just merely understanding that God is holy, but to be so gripped by it that it's life-changing. Many of us have an idea of what holy means. You know, when we hear God is holy, we think he's good, he's pure, and he's righteous, he's morally perfect. And that's not wrong. God is all that. But what we mean when we hear God is holy is that he's he's other, right? That he's utterly just different. That there's nothing in all of creation that's like God. And I'd love for us to see that God and his holiness is not background noise, but to see it as this great and awesome view that can't be ignored, even in the busyness of life. And to be so gripped by it that it changes us. So let's explore that together and get into the passage. Now, Isaiah was a prophet. He lived almost 700 years before Jesus was born. His job was to advise kings and to instruct God's people how to live. In our passage today, Isaiah has this vision. Have a look with me in your Bibles, starting from verse 1. We hear that Isaiah is in a temple, and it's a huge heavenly room. And in this room, he sees the Lord sitting on his throne. But this Lord is no ordinary Lord. This Lord is God himself. And God has this great robe that fills the room. Every surface, every nook and cranny is covered with his robe. And then Isaiah sees seraphim. They're these fiery angels flying above God, and they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And they're crying so loud that smoke fills the room, and the whole place is shaking. This is pure sensory overload for Isaiah. And it's terrifying, and it should be. Because what Isaiah is dealing with here is standing in the presence of God and his holiness. It's not quiet. It's not distant. It's overwhelming. It's right up in everyone's face. God in his holiness is right there. It just can't be ignored. But can you imagine for a moment being in that room with Isaiah? All the smoke is filling up the room, the foundations of the room shaking like an earthquake. The voices of the angels are deafening and it's thundering throughout the room as they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." But those aren't even the things that truly grab our attention, is it? Certainly not for the seraphim and Isaiah. Because what's grabbing their attention is God in his holiness on the throne right there. That's what's causing all this sensory overload. And as we imagine ourselves in this room, have we come to realize God in his holiness like this? Have we come to see it like the seraphim? To see it as something so out of this world, something that is entirely other, that we can't help but keep looking at it, to be in absolute awe of it to the point where it drives us to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Or is that awe and wonder lost on us, like me and Ant in Queenstown? Can we get used to God in his holiness, that we just walk past it? Every now and then we're reminded, oh yeah, God is holy. We haven't entirely forgotten about it. But then God in his holiness is simply background noise then. And the danger is that we don't give God the reverence that's due to him. The same reverence the seraphim cry out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Friends, don't be like me and Ann in Queenstown and see God and his holiness as background noise. Instead, see it like the seraphim, because that's what's going to happen in the end. We're all going to be before God, praising him like the seraphim. And this is what we're looking forward to be able to stand before God and be in his presence, in his holiness, and crying out with awe and joy. This is what we're hoping for. So today, see God and his holiness for what it truly is, in light of what's to come tomorrow, look forward to that day when we're all before God in his holiness and we're all praising him with awe and joy, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." As we keep reading on, you'll notice in verse 2, you know, the seraphim, they couldn't even look at God in his holiness. These angels who are sinless, they had to cover their face with their wings. God is so holy that even the angels had to shield their eyes from him. And if angels don't even stand a chance and they can't look at him, well, then who can? What about Isaiah? What about us humans? Who could ever be holy like that? But let's fast forward about 700 years to Jesus' time and hear from John, who was one of Jesus' closest friends. And John wrote this in his book. Let me read it to you from John chapter 12, verse 41. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. John is talking about Isaiah's vision here, the same vision we've been hearing from. And John's saying, the God that Isaiah saw, the one sitting on the throne, the one the seraphim were crying out to, was Jesus. But the same Jesus who walked the earth, who lived among people, who died on the cross and was raised to eternal life, the same Jesus who didn't just point to God's holiness, but who is God himself, holy in every way. Jesus is the Holy One of God. And he's the one Isaiah saw in his vision. But let's head back to Isaiah's vision, because there's more happening here. Have a look with me in verse 5. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah, he saw Jesus in his holiness and he cries, "Woe to me." He's saying, "I'm done for. I'm ruined." He responds like this because he's been exposed. Isaiah sees himself clearly as a man of unclean lips. And that just means he realizes that he's sinful and unworthy. And when he realizes something like that, there's a sense of impending doom for Isaiah, because being exposed to Jesus in his holiness is going to destroy him. You know, Isaiah knows he can't survive this. And I think about what he's going through, and it reminds me of this scene in a mini-series called Chernobyl. What's happening here in this picture, you see that I've highlighted the scientist there with the red circle. His name's Anatoly Sitnikov. He's been told to check this nuclear reactor to see if it's open or not. And as he looks over the railing here to check, to see if it is open, he does see that it's open. And as he's looking, his face starts to turn red. It starts to blister. And then he starts bleeding. Because all the radiation from this open reactor is piercing his skin. And it's pretty much confirmed death at this point. But the scientist, he knows this though. He knows that if he looks at it, he's going to die. He knows he shouldn't be there. He knows that he's not going to survive this at all. And there's no doubt that's what Isaiah would have felt. This sense of impending doom. That same realization when he's standing before Jesus in his holiness. And he's thinking, "I shouldn't be here. I'm not going to survive this. I'm dead." Again, imagine with me for a moment. Let's put ourselves in Isaiah's shoes. We've just seen Jesus in his holiness. But do we see Jesus like Isaiah did and react like him? That same sudden realization that we're unworthy, that feeling of impending doom, do we see Jesus like Isaiah? or do we not see it like him? Maybe we see Jesus as this old mate that, you know, slaps our back, he throws his arm around our shoulder and he says, "How's it going?" Or maybe we see him as a workmate that we catch up with and we talk about how our sports teams went and how good the weather is. Or do we see him as a classmate that we send memes to and have a laugh with? All these things, are we bringing Jesus down to our level and losing sight of his holiness? Is Jesus and his holiness background noise for us? As we imagine all this, the reality is that Isaiah's reaction is exactly what it's like to face Jesus in his holiness. We see him as this other, as this goodness and perfection, as this God who reveals everything to us, whose holiness makes us realize our unholiness in everything that we've ever done. Things we've done when no one's looking, things we've done behind closed doors, thinking we were safe, things we've done in the dark, and all of it is brought out into the light and made known to us and Jesus. And when that happens, it drives us to be on our knees and we cry out like Hosea, "Woe to me, for I am a person of unclean lips." That's what Jesus in his holiness does to us. But if Jesus and his holiness just left us there feeling doomed, then that's bleak, isn't it? But that's not the case. Have a look with me in verses 6 to 7. One of the seraphim flew towards Isaiah, touched his mouth with a live coal, and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." You know, Isaiah's, he's cleansed. His guilt and sin, they're all taken away. That feeling of impending doom is gone. Everything that was revealed to him in that moment is taken away. And that's great news, isn't it? That's brilliant news. And so, you know, this is just a vision, right? But it's a vision that points to a reality. The reality that sin and guilt can be taken away. And it points to what Jesus has done. The coal that cleansed Isaiah points to Jesus as the one who cleanses all of us. He cleanses us of all unworthiness. All that feeling of impending doom is gone. And so we can stand before him and praise him all day and night. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. How gracious, how loving, and how holy of Jesus to not leave us feeling doomed and be destroyed, but to cleanse and restore us so that we can be with him. Jesus and his holiness leaves us in awe, doesn't it? And having been exposed to something like that, we're not meant to walk away unchanged, because Jesus, who cleansed us, has made us holy. Let me read for you from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And verse 14 says, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." That means Jesus' sacrifice didn't just forgive us, it permanently made us holy. It's permanent. We can't lose it. And because of that, we have confidence to come to God in his holiness. Let me read further on in the same chapter from verses 19 to 22. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The author is saying we don't have to be scared anymore. You know, we don't feel this sense of impending doom like Isaiah. We don't feel like that scientist in Chernobyl. Instead, we're confident. We're confident that we can come to God in his holiness and not be destroyed. That's the confidence that we have because of what Jesus has done. And since we've been made holy, we're called to live holy lives. Listen to what Jesus' friend Peter has to say in his letter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Peter's saying, as God's children, be holy in everything you do because God is holy. And not just be holy, but grow in holiness. Now, what I'm about to say, some of you might relate to it, some of you might not. But if you've ever thought, even though Jesus made me holy, it doesn't feel like I'm living a holy life right now. If you can relate to that, then I'm glad that you and I are not alone. The call to be holy can sometimes feel slow, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like a struggle. But don't be discouraged, friends. Jesus has made us permanently holy. We can't lose it. He's even sent the Holy Spirit to help us live holy lives too. So make every effort to be holy and have confidence that God, who started the good work in us, who made us holy, will complete it when Jesus returns. And this is our hope. You know, we hope for the day that when Jesus returns, we'll share in his holiness. Let me read for you from 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. John, the author, is saying, you know, we know that when Jesus returns, we'll see him as he is, in full glory and holiness, and we'll be transformed to be like him. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the future. That's where this is all heading. One day our holiness will be complete and we'll be with Jesus in his holiness. That's our hope. And that hope helps us to live holy lives today. Because we long for the day when we can see Jesus in his holiness. And when that happens, we'll be crying out like the seraphim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." What a privilege it is to experience God and his holiness, to be changed by it, and become holy people. and to live as holy people in preparation for that day that's coming. Friends, I can't even describe how excited I am for that day to come. You know, I long for that day when we're all in that room together and we see God in his holiness sitting on the throne. And his holiness is just glorious and overwhelming, and it drives us to be on our knees, and we're so overwhelmed with joy or the sensory overload, and we're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." What a hope we have to see God in his holiness on that day. And it's all because of Jesus. Why don't I pray? Lord God, you are holy. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord Almighty. We can't even begin to express how joyful we are to look forward to that day when we can be in your presence, to experience your holiness deep down into our hearts and our very bones, that we can cry out to you all day and night. And we thank you for Jesus, that because of what he's done, that we get to experience that, that we look forward to that. And so, Father, we do ask that you'll help us to live holy lives today as your holy people, because you are holy. In everything that we do, please help us to keep persevering in holiness so that we look forward to that day that is to come when Jesus returns, and we'll share in his holiness and we'll cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.